Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Welcome to Who What Wear with Hillary Kerr, your direct line to the designers, stylists, beauty experts, editors, and tastemakers who are shaping the ever-evolving world of fashion. I'm your host, Hillary Kerr, and today I'm handing things over to Who What Wear's Vice President of Social Media, Mackenzie Green, who sat down with our June cover star, Halle Bailey. You may know Halle as one half of the Grammy-nominated R&B duo, Chloe and Halle, or from her role in the Freeform series, Grown-ish. Now, she's making a major splash as the newest Disney princess in The Little Mermaid. She's here to talk about everything that went into making that incredible film, including bringing us inside the recreation of the iconic moments from the original animation. It's all coming up on Who What Wear.
Well, first of all, we have to give the audience a warning that we were doing this live on set. So if they hear any kind of crazy noise, you know what's going on. But first off, how are you? How are you feeling right now today in this moment?
I am feeling pretty great right now. I've had quite a busy day. I've been running around with my cat all day, and now I'm here getting to do this, which is so cool. So just happy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think what's going to be interesting is we're here kind of before everything really gets started. But when this airs, this will be after everything gets started.
Oh, after the movie.
Yeah. So after it's out into the world. So I'm curious, what is your note to future Halle right now?
I think my note to future Halle would be everything is going to be okay. It's going to be amazing. Be confident. Be proud of yourself and the work that you put into this film. And just enjoy yourself, girl. That's what I would
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking of enjoyment, I'm curious, like, were you able to bring the same kind of level of joy and calm to the audition process for this role? Like, what was that like?
Well, it was absolutely joy with receiving the request to audition for this film. Nerves and anxiety as well, though, like on 100%, because I have, like so many of us, have loved this film since we were younger, and it means so much to me. And Ariel is one of the main reasons why I even wanted to be able to swim, like as a little girl. So, you know, I have vivid memories of my sisters and I being in the pool and playing mermaids. Like, we all wanted to be Ariel. So the fact that I kind of got to take on this new perspective and new vision of who she is and this live action version, this reimagining of her world, is really an honor. And I'm just so excited about it.
In this reimagining process, how did this project come across your desk? Like, did you hear that Disney was going for a different idea with casting, or did they truly kind of go, hey, we want the best person for the role? And then your team came to you and said, we think we found something.
Yeah, well, I had received the request through my agency, CAA, who I'm with, and they told me that Rob Marshall, the director, wanted to see me for The Little Mermaid. And I just remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, that's so cool. Like, what role? Thinking through the characters and like, wow, what role would he want me to play? Like, maybe one of the sisters or something like that. Like, cool. And then they were like, Ariel, he wants you to read as the lead, Ariel. And instantly I was like, so excited, but so nervous because of just how much she means to me, and just instantly went into like overdrive of trying to prepare for the audition and going over and over it again with my sister and trying to get notes from my family of what can I fix. And then I ended up in New York and met Rob Marshall, the director, for the first time, who was so kind, was so genuine to me, and just made me feel so comfortable. And And I was just filled with so much gratitude and joy that he was honestly like a really cool person and genuine inside and out. It would have been really scary for me if he wasn't. Even more scary if he wasn't.
I mean, this is kind of a heck of a way to step into your own. You know, you could have taken like an A24 film, done something small. I'm curious, yeah. Like, did you know if you were going to step into this chapter in such a big scale, or were you kind of like, I'm open to whatever, like, God and the universe brings my way?
Definitely the second version of that, your second option. I'm very go with the flow type of girl. I just let God lead my life. I'm like, okay, wherever I'm meant to be, I will end up. And so, no, actually, I never thought that this would be the way I would be really entering into the acting world, like a movie this massive that we all know and love. So, I mean, when I think about it, it's just a mind freak when I'm like, wow, it's immense and I'm so grateful for it. But I did not think I would venture into acting starting with such a big film, no.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment where you thought, I got it? Or when was the kind of the moment in the process where you thought, I think I might be the Little Mermaid?
I don't think I ever.
Are you just having it right now?
Yeah. I don't think I ever felt that way until he told me I was cast as Ariel, because I think I just kept a very open mind and I was so excited to even be going for the role that I was fine with that. Like the fact that I even just had a shot to go for it and that the director wanted to see me based off of a Grammy performance he saw of my sister and I, like that was all I needed. I'm like, I honestly, after the first audition, I was like, yeah, great. Like it was a big weight off my shoulders. I'm like, wonderful. Like, I hope they like me. And I kind of just let it go. And yeah, I didn't know that I would be her until he like told me.
What was that moment like when he told you? Like, can you still drop into that feeling and those emotions?
I mean, I was just, it was tears because, yeah. Well, anyone who knows Rob Marshall knows that he is a perfectionist, number one, but he is also so amazingly theatrical and dramatic because of the world that he comes from. So he loves to like deliver big news on a grand scale and do these big things. So the day he actually told me I was cast as her was the same day that the press release would go everywhere. So I had found out, I think like 2 hours before or three hours before the rest of the world was about to find out. And he told me on the phone, he's like, yeah, I'm telling you now, and the whole world's gonna know in like 3 hours. I'm like, what? So it was like a double whammy for me.
Do Lily James and Naomi Scott give you advice to be a princess? And do you pass that on to Rachel Zegler? Like, basically, is there a princess group chat that you guys are on?
Oh my gosh. No, but we should make a group chat, honestly. I love Lily James and Naomi and Rachel, who is just the best. I have connected with Rachel a few times in person. I've met her and I just love her so much as a person. And then for the Oscars, I got to meet Lily for the first time. And I had met Naomi like I think twice prior, she's literally an angel on earth. And they did give me a bit of advice when I was there with them at the Oscars. Well, they were asking how I felt. And then they were just like, listen, you're in it. You're strong. You're powerful. You can do this. Just basically words of affirmation, because they know what it feels like to suddenly be taking on this role, this reimagining of this iconic story that everyone loves. And, you know, the pressures that come with that. So there was absolutely just love sent my way. And I really appreciated that from them.
In that wave of love, obviously we've seen the videos of the young girls kind of having these moments. But I guess what I'm curious about, what has it been like to meet your peers and older Black women who are probably having their own kind of inner child healed by seeing you in this role?
Well, getting to meet peers and especially older women come up to me and tell me how, you know, the trailers and stuff have impacted them is very surreal. And it just makes me grateful and filled with so much joy and happiness and proud to be doing what I'm doing and proud that I was chosen for this role and proud that I can take on this whole adventure. It's very weird though, too, because it's like, huh, you're saying all these nice things about me. Like, I really appreciate it, but I just feel like I'm regular girl from Atlanta, Georgia. So when everyone's like, you're breaking barriers and this is history, it's like, I really appreciate that and I'm thankful. But it's almost this sense of, it's like you're looking at yourself from outside of a window or something. Like, it can't quite hit you yet. So I think I'm still grasping on to that whole perspective, but it's an honor, truly. And it makes me want to just continue to do my best in everything I do and reach for the stars. And it's just a really good feeling when the people you've looked up to for a long time give you those flowers in that way.
Yeah. I've heard Shonda Rhimes talk about this idea of the FOD, first, only, different. Mm-hmm. And this thing that you're saying of like feeling this responsibility, kind of being this FOD in the Disney princess world. Like, are there moments either in the process of filming or when the announcement was made where you thought like, oh, okay, this is, you know, it's like, I think about many of the people that came before you where people are like, oh, Nichelle Nichols is the first Black woman to ever be in sci-fi, or this person's, you know, did you have that moment where you were like, oh, for the rest of my life, I will be?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I sure did. And I find that like my family and friends are the ones that are like reminding me of that. And I'm just like, whoa, like that's really big. And it's crazy because we're in the year 2023. You would think that these firsts are like not first anymore, you know? And I just hope that for the future and everything, it's not such a shock anymore for a Black woman to be cast as Ariel, like for that to just be a normal thing and for it to not even be a conversation about, you know, all of that. But I mean, it's exciting and it's an honor and I look at it as a big thing and I'm just like, whoa.
Yeah. You have such a level of emotional intelligence and grace, especially when I would watch kind of the conflagration of comments around you, both like exalting and deriding. And I'm just curious, like, where do you get that kind of inner citadel that allows you to go like, okay, I know what I need to do, but I'm not focusing on this?
I think it was really just the way I was raised growing up in Georgia. You know, I have a lot of family in South Carolina. We're all Southern girls. I come from a really big family. My dad has 13 brothers and sisters. Like, I have so many cousins. And I think all my life I've just been surrounded by genuine, true love and to know what that feels like in the real world, especially from my grandparents and examples like them. So I think when something like this comes up, it's a really beautiful experience. But at the same time, you know, when you grow up young in this entertainment industry, you have to take yourself away from the hoopla of it all. And I think you learn that. Like, I feel like me and my sister had to learn that from a young age, you know, being 15, like on tour with Beyonce, like amazing. What an honor. We're blessed. We're grateful. But I try not to identify my accomplishments as my worth, because that way I can still stay grounded and feel like I'm a real human being, you know? Because at the end of the day, and I say this all the time, this is amazing and being in the entertainment industry is amazing, but none of this social stuff really matters. Like, what matters is love and being with the people you love and the happy, joyful moments that you have with one another. Those are the things that last in my head and memories. So that's how I try to humble myself. And then God is a very big part of my life and everything as well, because none of this would be possible without, you know, my faith. I feel like,
I'm sure you probably feel the same. It's like, I always say there's nothing more humbling than like a Black Southern family. Like, they will look at you and be like, okay, but you still need to help
wash
set the
dishes.
Exactly.
Like, we don't care.
Exactly.
Great. You're a mermaid. Come and clean up.
You're like, cute. You're not one right now. So moving on.
Yeah.
You talked about your sister. And I think what I love is you both are having these completely amazing moments, right? Like, to me, there's nobody who's embodying more bad bitch behavior than I feel like your sister on stage. And I feel like you are stepping into the moment of grace in your acting. I'm curious, like, what is that moment of you two talking and kind of realizing like, wow, like we may have separated, but we're like doing it. Like,
we were just having this conversation the other day, actually, because, We're very happy that we've been able to have a career together and now for the last 2 years individually as well. And, you know, it truly is a really big blessing. But for me, as the little sister, I have always looked up to Chloe. She's like my second mom, honestly. Like, she's so protective over me. She doesn't let anybody F with me. And if they do, it's bad for them. And like, my sister is my angel, I truly feel. So the fact that I got to grow up doing this with her is like the luckiest thing that could have ever happened to me, I feel, because I don't think I would have been doing any of this without her, because I'm the baby sister and I'm more shy. And like, even growing up when we were babies, like, the whole sole reason I wanted to sing is because I saw my sister singing. Like, she's 2 years older than me, so she would sing before me, and then she'd be like, come on, she'd get me to join her. And then next thing you know, we're singing together, and then we're just, you know, doing shows together. It's like, what? Then you're catapulted into this world. But it's been a real, real blessing. And she said to me the other day, well, this will air after, but the premiere is coming up and we're all getting all excited. And her album just released and I'm so proud of her. And it's called In Pieces. You should go get it.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. And I was saying to her about how proud I was of her work with her album, because she's been working on that, like, blood, sweat, and tears for 3 years. And I think people don't understand the immense genius that my sister's brain is. It's just amazing. So anyways, long story short, we were talking about it and we did have that moment. We were like, look at what is happening. Like, yeah. You know, sometimes people see like success and they might have not known us before this year or last year. And they're like, oh, wow, they kind of popped out of nowhere. This really, they're lucky, you know, but we've been working really hard for a very long time too. So that's also something that we both were reminding each other. We're like, yeah, this is amazing. And we've been working for it though too. So we should be proud of ourselves and the work that we put in.
The way you both have stepped into these positions, especially yourself, I'm curious, like, is that Parkwood education a little bit like that Motown education where like you're ready for the moment when it presents itself because everything else taught you the discipline to get there?
I definitely think so. I think just having that example of the amazing Queen Bee, I mean, for everyone, just looking at her is like an amazing, pristine example of just a hard worker and pushing yourself and knowing that you can inspire so many generations. So I think that was an amazing example and mentor for us to have. So just falling under that umbrella, absolutely, yeah. I think some of those teachings came to Chloe and I.
That's awesome. So I am lucky enough to have a friend who played the mermaid at the Disney parks. And I remember she said to me, the moment you know you're the mermaid is when they fit you for your seashell bra. I'm curious, what was your moment that you were like, oh, I'm the mermaid?
Like, is she at Disney World?
She was. She is now a married mother, oh, Sarah Fisher.
That. Yes. Sarah Fisher. Hi, yes. Sarah.
She will die. I told her, I was like, half the reason I could not wait to interview you is because I was like, well, now I know two mermaids.
But
I'm curious, like, what was that moment either on set or like in the costume fitting where you looked up and went, oh, there she is?
Yeah. Well, that's amazing about Sarah, by the way. I just met Princess Tiana at Disney World and they are so amazing.
It is improv in real time. When you watch them do that, you're like, wow.
I was like, oh, so where are you from? Like, you know, expecting her to tell me like her real name and where she's like, I'm from New Orleans. And I love to make beignets. I'm like, wow, she is amazing. Anyway, a few years ago, my family and I, we all still lived together in a small little house in Sherman Oaks. And I remember, I think it was after the first two auditions that I had. I had one in New York, the first one, and then I had another one in LA. And then all of a sudden, they were like, okay, they're going to send Colleen Atwood to your house to get your measurements. I was like, huh? Like the Colleen Atwood, like the Oscar-winning costume designer, huh? So already that like made me like, And then I thought to myself, no. Maybe they sent her to all the girls' houses, like all the contenders. She for sure was there. I tried to like not psych myself up. And then she came to my house. She was so lovely. And I remember the second fitting that I had with her, seeing like just the beautiful mermaid dress. It was a dress that she made for me where when I stood up in heels, it came and looked like a tail. Oh, so, wow. And it was just for like the screen test for the studio. But it was a full-blown, like, beautiful mermaid gown. And I was like, wow, this is so cool. And I think that was the moment for me that was like, wow.
You were like, okay. I've heard you say in an interview that the hair flip scene was not as beautiful and glamorous as it feels. I have to know the story. Like, what was that like? What is it like trying to recreate those iconic moments from the cartoon that in reality you're like, there's a reason this is a cartoon?
Well, recreating some of the iconic shots, first of all, that's so important because, I mean, that's where we get the nostalgia, I mean, from the songs anyway, too. But the poses that she does, her sitting on the rock, each moment that's like a staple in our memory was really important for Rob to recreate and honor in that way. So I like wanted to do it 100%. And I have locks, so they're a little shorter now. But when I was filming, it was really cool because I had like the style called goddess locks where they used my locks and added straight hair as well to give it like a mermaid-y vibe. And it was heavy though. And at that point, they were longer and everything. And there was this amazing guy named Dan, and he's part of the stunt team, who were just amazing the whole time and helped me so much. But he actually was under the water and would throw my hair up with me because I physically could not lift my hair myself with my neck. So he would go underwater with me, and then every take, he would throw my hair and I would throw my head back. And Rob had me do it multiple times, just trying to get the right one, the perfect one. Because some takes, water be coming out of my mouth the wrong way. And then I look like I'm choking. And you know, so it's funny. So it was a really fun process to get that shot. But yeah, it was heavy.
I'm curious, what did Ariel leave with you? And then what did you give Ariel?
Ooh, I feel like Ariel gave me a lot. Because this was my first project doing anything on my own, and like I've been saying earlier, I say this a lot, how I'm the baby sister and I've been comfortable really just being with somebody all the time. Somebody has always held my hand. My sister's always held my hand. I've never had to do anything alone. So this was really my first venture into solo adulthood. So all of a sudden, I had moved cross country to London, and I was in intense rehearsals and stunts and mermaid training, and I'd be in the water so many hours. And all of a sudden, I'm going through this not only physical transformation, but mentally and spiritual transformation of me finding who I am on my own and building that confidence within myself to be able to do these things. So I truly feel like Ariel taught me that I can do it, and that I'm worthy, and that I'm stronger than I thought, you know? Yeah. That was a really big lesson for me. And it was really helpful because, well, we were filming in the middle of the pandemic, and in London, all the borders had been shut down and everything, so my family couldn't come visit me. So I was very isolated. Everything was closed down. None of the restaurants were open, so I would literally go from work to home, and I would sleep on the weekends because I'd be so tired, and then I'd go right back at 4 a.m. to work. Looking back, I'm happy that it was that way, that I was isolated in that way, and the pandemic almost helped me mirror the emotions Ariel was feeling in the film, to where she felt trapped and isolated and ready to see a brand new world, like the world above, where her heart belonged. So I felt like there were parallels to both of our lives in the time that I was filming. And, you know, I think I gave Ariel just my elements of who I am, whether it's just the way I say things or the songs, reinventing how I sing them. That was fun. And being able to work with Alan Menken, the legend, and also Lin-Manuel, who's great, was so exciting. But Alan really let me just have freedom to sing the songs how I wanted to sing it. He didn't want me to try to be exactly like the original. And Jodie Benson did so amazing.
I was wondering if you got to meet her.
She is just iconic. And she's from Atlanta too, like me. So she's so kind and she was so warm. And she just gave me such words of encouragement. And I love her to death. She's an angel woman. So yeah, it was just really cool. I feel like I gave Ariel my style of singing and just my way of being as a person.
Yeah. Well, I have one last question, and it's not one that you have to answer, but I'm curious, what's the one question that you haven't been asked that you wish somebody would?
Ooh, maybe I'll say, like, what was the funniest moment on set?
Okay.
Yeah. The funniest moment on set for me was the scene where I had to lift Jonah up out of the water.
Oh, yeah.
It's really funny because I think it was March when we had started filming the tank work that we had to do. And at that point, I had been doing a lot of blue screen work for a month by myself. I was just on the blue screen with me and the puppeteers, me talking to the voices in my head, Sebastian and Flounder, that I had to imagine. So when Jonah finally came on set, I was like, oh my gosh, a person, like, amazing.
You really were having an Ariel moment.
Yeah,
you were like, it's
I was
a boy.
Like, wow, it's a boy. Yeah, exactly. And I was laughing to myself because Rob started Jonah's schedule with, like, he was thrown into the water, like, immediately that day we were in the tank. And I was wearing a bathing suit. It was like a gray leotard and no shoes, barefoot. And Prince Eric has on his whole costume.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole thing was about the boots. Jonah was like, you don't see my feet under here right now, right? We're just doing our thing. So I'm going to ask Rob if I can, you know, take my boots off because they're keeping me down in the water. I'm like, yeah, yeah, ask that because we're both like trying to figure out how to do this. And he asked Rob, he's like, so the boots, we don't need them, right? And Rob's like, no, you need them. So we ended up doing the sequence of trying to keep straight faces and him trying to play like he's dead. But he was stepping on my toes like the whole time. It was so funny. And we looked back at that moment. We're like, oh my God, Jonah's first days. It was amazing.
I love that so much. Everybody's favorite, most romantic moment in the movie is now going to have people being like, oh, poor Jonah. Well, Hallie, thank you so much for your time. It has been a joy, a pleasure. And before we go, I have to say, from a Black girl that spent her whole life swimming in college and Junior Olympics, I wished I could have said I look like the Little Mermaid. So I want to thank you for giving me something to be so, so incredibly proud of. And I can't wait to go ball in the theater when the movie comes out.
Thank you so much. That means a lot. This made me cry. Thank you.
A huge thank you to Who What Wears June cover star, actress and singer Hallie Bailey, and our VP of social media, Mackenzie Green. Make sure to subscribe to our show wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And while you're there, I'd also be so grateful if you would rate and review us. If you have any guest suggestions or any other feedback, drop us a line at podcast@whowhatwear.com or you can find us on social at Who What Wear. See you next Wednesday on Who What Wear with Hillary Kerr. This episode was produced by Hillary Kerr and Olivia Capoletti. Editing is by Natalie Thurman. Our audio engineers are at Treehouse Recording in Los Angeles, California, and our music is by Jonathan Leahy.
One, two, three, four. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.